Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Elizabeth Peak, writing a column at The Hill, much on Fox Business and also at Fox News, to comment on the present circumstance of Evergrande. I go to the headlines from London. This is the pink newspaper, Financial Times. BlackRock and HSBC, that is Private Equity US and Bank London and Hong Kong, funds boosted Evergrande holdings as crisis loomed. First graph, funds managed by BlackRock and HSBC added to their holdings of Evergrande bonds just months before a liquidity crisis at the Chinese property developer pushed it to the brink of default. Liz, a very good evening to you. The brink of default. Evergrande is a property developer and builder. There are all these photographs appearing everywhere now of the construction of high-rises in China stopped. The cranes have stopped moving. Evergrande at the same time didn't fail today, says Barron's headline. Not today. Is this a 2008 crisis? I think that's called the Minsky moment, when everything's at risk. Or does this look to you to be the logic of China's bubble these last years and it will be corrected? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it's hard to know how widespread the Evergrande story will become, because we don't know whether other real estate developers in China could be tainted by this and people will stop lending money to them. They're all over-leveraged, presumably. They've all profited from a highly speculative real estate market in China for years. And the backdrop to this is, I think it's fair to say, that there's a bigger story about China, which is that it has been fueled by enormous debt growth over the last 20 years. Many of us have written about the threat of that at some point coming home to roost. In other words, that some sectors would be overleveraged. Certainly the real estate sector is probably the most prominent among those, in the sense that it's ridden such a hard race and in terms of growth, and also that the industry, like it is here, by the way, is pretty much dependent on debt financing. The story that you're talking about in the FT, about people buying the bonds of Evergrande as it got worse, it doesn't really surprise me, because you had two things playing out there. One, incredibly low yields on safe assets, i.e. treasury bonds. We all know that interest rates have been held near zero by the Federal Reserve, and the treasury, you know, the 10-year treasury is yielding 1.3%. So anybody that has an obligation to a pension fund or an endowment hoping to earn 6 to 8% really can't go there. Instead, they've been chasing yield. And they chased the yield, the bonds of Evergrande, because it was thought that the Chinese government would not allow a major, major corporation, the biggest in China of this kind, to go broke. But here's the problem. China, there's a new story in China, and it's really surfaced, I think, very visibly in the last 3 months, where Xi Jinping, the president of China, is really at war with commercial interests, with the private sector. The private sector, which arguably has created trillions of dollars of wealth, tens of millions of jobs, got China out of abject poverty 40 years ago, and to what we now clearly regard as the world's number two economy, a real financial powerhouse, manufacturing powerhouse, et cetera. It's been an extraordinary time for China, and enormous numbers of people have gotten rich, but no one has gotten richer than the people who own the businesses like Evergrande and like the big insurance companies and the tech companies that have done so very well. And those guys now, the billionaires in China, If our billionaires feel under attack, they should live in China because they are really under attack. Sometimes they disappear, for periods of time. But more practically speaking, the Chinese government under Xi Jinping wants all control, all power, and they have made it clear over the last, I'd say, 9 months that that power will be directed towards diminishing the wealth of these big entrepreneurs and billionaires in order to create a more perfect socialist society, something, oddly, we talk about here in the United States as a sort of political fringe notion, really. But in China, if one man is controlling the country and that's his vision, it's going to have resonance. And the resonance we see right now is that the Chinese government may not prop up this big company that is on the brink of default. They might allow a restructuring or something like that. Or this could be the moment that Xi Jinping says to investors, don't believe that we're going to continue to support private entrepreneurs and private development because that is not our vision. So it's a fascinating time, I think. Fascinating story.
My memory of August and September of 2008, and I didn't have you to talk to, Liz, so I wish I could call upon our conversations, was that there was a term of art introduced, moral hazard. Is this moral hazard zone for the Chinese decision makers in Beijing about whether they do or do not step in? And are bets being placed that they will step in?
Well, bets are being placed. That's why BlackRock and HSBC increased their bond purchases. But honestly, the jury's out. I mean, there's equal amount of people saying no, they'll never let them go broke, and people saying yes, it's really they're going to default. And this is Xi Jinping's signal that he means business to these guys. The government for the last few years has tried to rein in the debt financing of their country's growth, and they have started with real estate development because that has been such a big engine of growth. But I think it goes beyond that now, John. And moral hazard, I don't think that means anything to the Chinese. They can do what they want. If they bail out one company and not another, as our government did in 2008, when they bailed out some of the investment banks and let Lehman founder, that really was, in retrospect, that was a really interesting decision made by our officials, our Treasury and Federal Reserve officials, and no one really ever explained why one company should be saved and another couldn't. That is open to political conversation in our country. In China, they don't care.
The Chinese economy is integrated with the U.S. economy, so it all comes down to what's in it, what's the risk for the U.S.,
yeah.
As I understand it, we're also recovering from a pandemic. The IMF and other observers have adjusted the growth expectations for the fourth quarter for 2022 for 2023. Does the Chinese property bubble, if that's what it is, it's a metaphor, does that in some fashion drag on our recovery? Is that part of the pandemic story that we're observing this Delta slowdown at the same time we have a property bubble?
Well, I think there's a couple of missing links there. One is that the pandemic is hurting right now. The upsurge of cases has hurt things like airlines, and travel and even entertainment, because people are a little more shy about going on a plane now than they were 3 months ago. I mean, that's just a tragedy because those industries were just starting to revive. But another pandemic-related story clearly is just really messed up supply chains. And that's become a cliche. But if you actually follow the thread of people trying to buy things, trying to manufacture things, it's a mess. And frankly, if Joe Biden wanted to do something positive for the American economy rather than spending $3.5 trillion on climate change, he really should get all forces at work on trying to help iron out these supply chain disruptions that are affecting, for example, shipping. I don't know if you saw this morning, FedEx, I think it was first, announced that they were raising rates. Well, who can be surprised? The cost of everything is going up related to shipping, including the cost of storage and the cost of fuel, and the cost of paying a truck driver because there are not enough of them. The second biggest problem of our economy is simply we have a shortage of labor, and no one is even addressing that. But back to your comment, the impact from China slowing, if this produces a slowdown in growth in China, which I think it could, because you'll have the kind of drop in consumer confidence that has impacted us here, maybe, and you'll just have a little bit less money flowing into investment and growth.
Liz, presuming that the Chinese economy has hit peak outreach, and Xi Jinping and the decisions he's making about how many hours 12-year-olds can spend on PlayStation, all the way up to big tech companies only listing in Hong Kong or Shanghai, and all the data has to come through Beijing, can't be shared overseas. Those are two pieces of the reigning in capitalism. What does this mean for the U.S. and for our consideration of our supply chains? Does it mean that we're going to have to rebuild our understanding of consumer demand and reorganize ourselves on the basis of manufacturers in other countries?
You know, I think it's an interesting question. I mean, we've seen over the last couple of years a real reassessment on the part of American producers of the wisdom of relying on Chinese supply chains. Think about the drug problem early in the pandemic, where China and masks and other medical equipment, where China was effectively saying, we're going to stop sending things to you because we need them more in our country. And, you know, it's not just that kind of political coercion that's at stake and that's a problem. It's also that wage rates in China have soared over the last 15 years. No surprise, they've had an incredibly booming economy. But many American manufacturers have begun to distribute more of their production to countries that have not had that kind of wage inflation, like Thailand, like Turkey, and by the way, Mexico. Mexico is a great place to manufacture. It's close to the United States. We have very sound trading relationship, et cetera. And we know that not only is China far distant, but they also cheat like mad and steal everyone's intellectual property. So it would be a very good thing, in my view, if American companies began to say, okay, we know this has worked well. And by the way, the Chinese are extremely good at delivering goods. I mean, right now there's all kinds of messed up stuff, but if you talk to small business owners, as I have done over the years, they will tell you they'd much rather manufacture in China than anywhere because they're very efficient and they get the job done. It may not always be perfect, but it's incredibly cheap and it's very efficient. Still, I think this kind of political interference, if that's what you want to call it, is going to cast a pall over the trading relationship between the two countries.
So it's time to prepare for, well, winter is coming. Isn't that what they say at Game of Thrones? Liz Peek, she is a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to our favorite hometown, Manhattan, next, because the future for Manhattan is unclear. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.